What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to What's Burning, here with international man of mystery, Matt Barnes, just back from Croatia. All the smoke, international. Yeah. You guys, yes. By the way, that sunset, everyone go to Matt's IG if you haven't seen it.
It was crazy.
It was insane. What was it like?
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Damo. He was great, great host. We were out there for the Croatia Sunset Sports Festival. We were one of a handful of people they brought in from around the world to talk sports, media, women in sports, women in media. So we had a great time, but it was really an 8-day vacation. I think we worked a total of like 4 hours and 8 days. Right. So food was great. Views were amazing. Water was turquoise, as my girl likes to say. The air was clean. So, man, had a great time in Croatia.
Shout out Showtime Basketball for 8 days for 4 hours of work. That's pretty great.
Across the waters. We appreciate you.
There we go. While you left, though, while you were sleeping, so to speak, like the NBA Finals started. Yes. I know that you kept up. We're going into Game 3 in Miami, all tied up. Not what the odds makers expected after Denver thumped Miami in Game 1. And in fact, the Nuggets were actually up at halftime. They were up by 15 in the second quarter. What does it surprise you that they're going into Game 3 tied? Do you think it means something?
I can't say it surprises me at this point because I think Miami has continued to surprise everyone on every level.
Yeah.
You know, from being one game or being a play-in team, losing their first play-in game to running through the best the Eastern Conference has to offer. I really just give a lot of credit to Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler. I really feel like they have these guys believing. You know, obviously you look at the roster, it's not a ton of names that jump out to you, but these guys play a certain way, and I compare them to a San Antonio from a standpoint, not the talent and if they'll win a championship or not, but just great coach that makes these guys believe, and they're going to play their way every single game. They're not going to beat themselves. You're going to have to beat them, and that's what I think you saw in Game 2. They didn't beat themselves. I think Denver let their foot off the gas. You know, obviously Spoelstra threw some defensive, you know, magic in there from, you know, pressing to going into zone to, you know, really focusing on slowing down Murray. So again, you know, great executing, you know, a great execution. But we all know, Rachel, you know, the finals and the playoffs in general are all about adjustments. So we're going to have to see how Denver bounces back. But, you know, heading into Miami 1-1, Miami's feeling very confident right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, we know that Spo is a Hall of Fame coach, bound for the Hall of Fame one day. This is a chess match, though. Michael Malone knows what he's doing. Yes. He's been around the block. He was literally raised in the game. His father was an NBA coach. Yep. So I do think the X's and O's is going to be interesting going back and forth. And there was a lot made in game two of turning Jokic into a scorer instead of a passer, right? The Heat did open up the scoring lanes. I mean, that's inarguable. Jokic had a playoff low for him, 4 assists. But afterward, Coach Spo asked about
he didn't like that
turning Jokic into a scorer. He was very adamant. Oh, it's not. It's a very simplistic view, and all of this stuff. Was that accurate on his part, or was that a little gamesmanship of him being like, "No, no, that's not what we're doing. Don't look over here."
I think a little bit of both. Obviously, shout out Ramona because she knows the game. She knows the game. You know. As good as anybody,
asked the question,
yes.
And it was a completely legitimate, valid question.
Yes. But obviously, there's more to it. You know, I think Jokic is great, but we've seen when his supporting cast doesn't show up, they're kind of a middle of the pack team. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Obviously, Murray had an off night. Michael Porter Jr. didn't show up. You know, Bruce Brown's been great off the bench. He didn't really give him too much. So Jokic had to do what he had to do to kind of keep his team in the game. So we all know that he's a capable scorer. He's just more of a pass first guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily look at the 4 assists as him not looking to pass. It was, I think it was more of his teammates not making shots. So, you know, again, I think you brought up a great point. You know, two of the best coaches in the game, and it's an interesting chess game amongst them. Right. And then also there's a game that's being played on the floor with the players. So this game will be, game three will be about adjustments, and I'm sure that Mike Malone will have his team ready. And I know Spo will throw some more wrinkles into what they're doing. So we know that Miami kind of really has to make a lot of adjustments. Everyone think, you know, obviously on paper, Denver's the better team. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the game is played on the floor, you know, with two great coaches that are going back and forth in mind games, and players have to go out there and perform.
One of the real geniuses of Miami's roster for the playoffs, which, by the way, is what it is because it shifted so much during the year, is that it's so, like, dexterous, right? They can do so many different things depending on what the other team throws at you. They can play in a bunch of different ways, and we saw that in the way they played against Milwaukee, the way they played against New York. They shifted, like, 3 times just in that New York series alone. So that's what, to me, everyone's, you know, Heat culture, yes, huge. I used to work down there, like, no question. That is a big part of their DNA. There were several times in game two where they were behind and they could have just quit and been like, great, this isn't our series, and they didn't. So, like, all of that's real.
Yeah.
Also, however, they have the players. They have the guys to be able to do a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting. One of the sort of X and O things that I've seen a lot over the last couple of days going into game three is that Jokic's post touches were really limited. And that's one of the things that Miami did. And that when he gets the ball in the post, I mean, as untraditional as a center as he is in some ways, when he gets his back to the basket, the way that they score is just, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Miami's hung their hat during the Spolstra era on defense, you know, in different strategies. And, you know, what I've loved about Miami is, you know, they've the complete underdog story. You know, we've heard how many guys haven't been drafted. So not only are they playing for this championship, but a lot of these guys are playing for big deals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Miami is someone who will pay people good money. But, you know, anytime you can get Bam and Jimmy both in 20, and then you have Gabe Vincent, an undrafted player from NorCal who, you know, led the team in scoring. It's been different guys at different times for him. You know, Caleb Martin had a great Eastern Conference Finals. He hasn't necessarily showed up yet in these finals, but again, a guy like Gabe Vincent stepped up, Max Strus has stepped up. So, you know, again, I really just credit Spolster for, you know, the creative mind behind what they're doing on defense, and then having these guys believe in themselves enough that, hey, even though, you know, we have the roster we have, and Denver is big Denver, you know, we're just as good as anybody in the world, and we're showing it right now.
Well, Steve Kerr, of all people, had an interesting take on Spoelstra. He went on Draymond's podcast after game two, which is an amazing sentence that I just said out loud. I mean, things have changed so much in the media and NBA world that we have a current player podcasting after games about what's going on in the NBA finals and has his head coach and what 8-time champion joining him. But there you go. Enjoy, NBA fans. You've got a lot going on right now. It's a nice world to be in. Steve talked about the Heat starting Kevin Love and how that allowed Jimmy Butler to guard Murray. And he said, quote, "I can see them in their coaching meeting saying Murray is the head of the snake, not Jokic. Jokic is going to dominate no matter what we do. I think they just decided Murray is the guy we got to stop. And then you saw they were blitzing Murray quite a bit and really tried to take everything away from him out of the game. I didn't know what you thought of
that. Great call. That's a great call. I mean, because we've seen, I mean, this Denver team has been struggling the last 2 years because of injury.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jokic has been, and during that time, won MVP.
Right.
So we know how great he is. So Steve Kerr has a great point. Jokic is going to be Jokic regardless. Like, you're not going to shut him down. But, you know, we have a better chance at shutting down a Jamal Murray. And he's been tremendous in these playoffs and really the whole season. You know, so I agree that although that may not have been the game plan, or it was the game plan, they did a great job at it. And then, you know, obviously, Jimmy Butler is one of those rare superstars that, you know, you're not just going to get one thing from him. This guy is a complete player and does whatever it takes, from guarding the best player to knocking down big shots to getting his team going to making plays. He's done absolutely everything this season. But I agree. I mean, Jokic is one of those guys that is going to be a mismatch. He's going to get his numbers regardless. But if we can shut down or slow down a Murray, you know, you're putting a lot of pressure on Michael Porter Jr. You're putting a lot of pressure on Aaron Gordon, Bruce Brown, Caldwell Pope. You know, I'm living with those guys beating us instead of Murray.
Speaking of the Warriors, guys, while you were out of the country, Bob Meyer stepped down.
Oh, man.
And I mean, look, you go way back with Bob. Yeah. You obviously.
Bob was my first agent.
Bob was your first agent?
Yeah, under Arne Tellem when I came out of UCLA.
I had no idea. I know he was Tracy McGrady's agent. Mm-hmm. Man. Yeah. All right. So you know him super well.
Uh-huh.
You actually, I mean, it's amazing. You interviewed him with All the Smoke the day that Draymond punched Jordan Poole. So you have been there with the Warriors for some key moments this year. Obviously, you're so tied to that team. What do you think happens from now on?
That's tough. I mean, you're hearing some names float around. One of my former teammates, Mike Dunley Jr., great basketball mind. But I think what Bob did for that franchise is it obviously can't be underplayed. I don't think anyone's underplaying it.
Yeah.
Just a great, great basketball mind that I think it probably just rode its course. You know what I mean? There's just a lot of stuff. And then again, you hear rumors about the owner kind of overstepping his bounds, would you say? But can an owner actually do that if it's his team? You know, so I don't know if any of that is true, but I think, you know, Bob just needed a break. I mean, a lot has gone on in the last, what's he been, 10 years, 11 years? And they've won, you know, 4 championships and been to the finals, you know, a handful of times. So sometimes as players and even management, you just get worn out. And I think that's the case that, you know, Bob has gotten worn out. But I don't think he's done in basketball. Mm-hmm. I definitely think, you know, he's a SoCal guy. I think at some point you'll look for him to be on some management side. I'm leaning Lakers or Clippers. It's going to take a year off. But, you know, look to have his mind back in the game. And if it does come down to the game, I'm sure it'll be in a SoCal team where he's from and where his family's at.
Well, it's interesting. The Clippers had an opening, right? Michael Winger went to the Washington Wizards. And they left that job open for a little bit. I have no idea, but I am sure at least calls were placed from Steve Ballmer being like, do you know how much money I have?
Yeah.
Would you like some of it?
Yeah. I also think too, I mean, and this is my opinion and complete speculation, but I think it could have been real with the Lakers if they didn't make the run they made.
I totally
agree. Because I think Rob Pelinka was, you know, playing with house money for long enough and they were able to make some great moves and make a run to the Western Finals. But that was one thing that I saw, that if the Lakers didn't make that run, that I could have saw Bob possibly not taking no time off and really sliding right into Lakers management. But
they had made the playoffs,
I agree. So it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, he probably needs some time off. It's been a lot. He's got some, you know, some gray hairs, and he's not someone who should have gray hairs yet. So a little time off with the family will serve him well, and I'm sure he'll have his pick of the choice. You know, he can go anywhere he wants when it's time.
Bob Myers has been Draymond Green's greatest champion since he drafted Draymond. Do you think Draymond Green is a Golden State Warrior? Has that jersey on at the beginning of the season?
I do. I think that Bob may have, you know, that was probably one of the final things he got across to management about ownership, about how important Draymond is. And, you know, obviously as players, I see it. I've seen it in person. Those guys in the locker room know it. Sometimes ownership may not be as keen because they're not necessarily basketball type guys. This is a hobby for them. But I think that was probably Bob's last thing was, hey, I'm out. But if this core is going to continue to move forward, Draymond needs to be a part of it.
I know Steph Curry has been really vocal about
that.
Clay has been vocal about it. And it's funny, there were times this season, and Dre's talked about it, that, you know, the team has been frustrated with him, both individually on the player level and obviously big picture with the Jordan Poole stuff and everything. My opinion, just from being with them, and you were with him through that Sacramento series, when Draymond was suspended, that almost swung the pendulum.
That's the word, yeah.
So much the other way. you know, yeah. the fact that he missed that game.
Well, I mean, I just think, you know, as great as Steph and Clay are, Dre is the leader of that team.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to literally sit back and kick it with Dre during that first round in Sacramento. And we talked for, you know, quite some time. And, you know, he just, you know, he told me that it was so hard to see things going a certain way, but he didn't really feel like he had maybe the footing or the voice at the time to kind of straighten it out during the season.
Right.
And he said he felt like he didn't get his voice back until about February. Huh. And I'm sure a lot of bad habits had probably accumulated for some of the younger guys at that point. And,
yep.
You know, February is, you know, 30 games left in the season. So, again, looking back, I didn't necessarily think that the punch was going to cause something
yeah,
that would linger the entire
effect.
Season.
Yeah.
But it did.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you look at Jordan Poole and his performance wasn't very well, but I wasn't necessarily looking at his performance more than I was looking at his body language and the way he looked teammates off, the way he looked Hall of Famers off
mm-hmm.
when they're trying to talk to him and give him a little bit of information. So it'll be interesting to see where he's at next season. I have a better feeling that Draymond will be there, and I'm not saying it's either or. But,
yeah.
you know, I think they could shop Jordan Poole this year. He may need a fresh start because there's no guarantee that bridge can ever kind of be rebuilt. And it needs to be rebuilt because they need him at his best because he was supposed to get a thing. I mean, just last year, we're thinking this guy is the guy you can hand the torch to
yeah.
and run with it after, you know, our core group is gone. So I'm not saying one season has changed at all, but it could. So that'll be interesting to see if Jordan Poole is a Warrior at the beginning of next season.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? You think they need it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Wow. Well, it was interesting. That same podcast I was mentioning with Steve Kerr and Draymond, Steve was talking about the Miami Heat. And, you know, Steve, like, he says things and he's always in touch. He's very smart. He's always untouchable. You could never prove anything. But he said, he's like, ah, that Miami Heat team, you know, nobody ever complains about playing time or their role. And he kind of went on and on about how, like, you know, a guy may have a big role and then he has a reduced role because of the way he's playing, but they never complain about it. It's always what's best for the team. And obviously there was a lot of public, you know, tension about the fact that Jordan Poole was unhappy with the size of his role, certainly toward the end of the postseason. So I don't know how much of that was targeted, but Steve does not say things by accident.
Well, we both know how smart and strategic he is. Yeah, so those are some warning shots for sure.
There you go. And he's right about the Miami Heat, by the way, and that's possibly going to be tested again in this next homestand, because Tyler Hero has been in full contact for about a week, and he made a point of saying in game two, like, oh, I wasn't ready anyway. You know, he didn't want to put anyone under pressure. But game three has been sort of the target that was put out there. Mm-hmm. Do you put him back in the lineup for game three or four?
Yes, I do. And I think because he can shoot the ball and he makes plays, he's a scorer, he's a 20-point-a-game guy. You know, and I saw him saying he doesn't want to step on anybody's toes. But at this point, he's their third best player. Mm-hmm. And although he's had a lot of time off, you always want to give him a chance to see if he can kind of get it going. You know, and obviously that's going to sacrifice some guys' minutes.
Right.
But one more thing about Golden State before we leave them is – they've always had strength in numbers. That's always been their motto.
Sure.
And it's never been about us, me. You know, like I said, I was there when all the stars were there, and it was never about anything but winning.
Yeah.
And you can see, like I said, with the Draymond thing, not being able to kind of really have a grasp on the team at the beginning, that was something that kind of went astray during the process of the season. And once he felt confident enough or comfortable enough to kind of, hey, we got to steer the ship this way, the ship was already, you know,
it
was already ghost riding, like they say in the Bay. So it'll be interesting to see if Tyler comes back. If I'm Spo, and I'm sure Spo will, and if Tyler's ready to play, you definitely got to throw him out there and see what we can give you on the offensive end, because this is a great defensive team, but they have struggled at times on the offensive end. If you have one of your best players coming back and is, you know, healthy enough to play, you definitely got to give him a chance.
I mean, certainly the way he scores could help them against the way Denver defends.
Yep,
so that seems pretty clear. And if Steve's right, and there really is a big similarity between the ethos of those teams and the strength in numbers and kind of the idea that Miami has that same vibe, people shouldn't get – it shouldn't cause static if he comes back and displaces some guys.
Agreed.
So we will see if all of that is actually
accurate. That's why you pay the coaches big money. Tough decisions.
And, you know, we'll see, you know, how much Spo gives him in terms of, you know, how much leeway he gives him to, like, work himself back in versus not. So.
Agreed.
Some news involving, let me tell you if this shocks you. During the NBA Finals, we have some news involving LeBron James has somehow surfaced. The Athletic reporting Kyrie Irving wants the Mavericks to explore trading for LeBron to make a big three with Luka Doncic. So first of all, what was the first thought that went through your mind when you heard this?
That's Luka's team, not Kyrie's team.
Ooh.
Was literally my first thought. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, as that rumor comes out, or if it's not a rumor, if it's true, you see the Lakers responding with the only way LeBron is going there is if Luka comes here.
Right.
And we all know that's not happening. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens on both sides of the coin. You know, I think obviously Dallas can give Kyrie the most money. But again, that is Luka's team. And as great as Kyrie has been or is, that team wasn't good with those two together. Plain and simple. The numbers reflected that. They weren't very good together. So it'll be interesting to see how management moves around with that. But yeah, I don't see LeBron going to the Mavs at all.
There's so many good layers to this. I mean, one thing is trying to figure out kind of what Kyrie was trying to do here, right? This is news coming out, kind of give him a little cover. If he ends up leaving Dallas and going to the Lakers, can he sit there and say, well, I was trying to be loyal to the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. I tried to get this done in Dallas, and Dallas didn't want to give up enough for him, didn't make the deal. You know, so I don't know if it's laying that groundwork. I don't know if it's that the Lakers are kind of lukewarm on signing Kyrie. I mean, obviously, he showed up at two of their playoff games.
Right.
He has been trying to make a statement about at least wanting to play with LeBron, if not play for the Lakers. And I don't know how much money they have or would want to pay him, certainly right. compared to Dallas. So maybe this was his way of sort of publicly distancing himself, being like, I didn't want to play for LA anyway. See, I'm trying to recruit LeBron here, actually. Like, I don't know what the behind the scenes
is. I think none of us have had a successful job at guessing on what Kyrie is thinking or his strategies. You know, but I think obviously there's two things for certain. The Lakers aren't giving up LeBron unless Luka's coming back. Mm-hmm. And two, the Mavericks aren't going to work with Kyrie from a standpoint of, hey, let's send you where you want to go.
Right.
Those are two things that aren't going to happen. So.
I mean, Kyrie's a free agent.
So is he unrestricted? Okay. He could just leave. Yeah, they're not going to work a trade situation to kind of make it favorable for him. So obviously, I'm sure they want his talent, but I think they want it, but they don't really know what to do with it yet. Because like I said, we got a small sample size. And to me, with two great players like that, it's hard to judge a 25-game run. But
they gave up a lot to get Kyrie.
Too many pieces.
For a guy especially who was going to be a free agent, right? Yeah. And so to me, the fact that it didn't quite work had less to do with them.
Yeah.
And more to do with the fact that, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith gone. Mm-hmm. Like that they just didn't have the defense, you know, to be able to back those guys up, that they didn't have the complementary pieces. And if you're about to pay Kyrie more money,
and you still don't have those
pieces,
that's
going to make you even more hamstrung in filling out that roster. That's what's complicated about the situation Dallas is in.
Yeah, and then also, too, from a Lakers standpoint, how much would you have to give up? Because that was the one great move that Rob made, was getting pieces that, you know, and they all may not stay, but I'm sure they want to keep at least two or three of those guys, and that was what helped them with their run. They made great moves, trade deadline, and to bring pieces in that helped complement LeBron and AD. Mm-hmm. So if you go back now and you're going to go all in for Kyrie, you're not going to be able to resign these guys. And they're going to be a top-heavy team, same way Phoenix was. And with LeBron being going into year 21 and going on, was it 38 or 39 in December?
It's going to be 39 in December.
I don't think that's a winning recipe. So again, there's a reason why these management guys are paid a lot of money and coaches are paid a lot of money, because there's going to be a lot of strategy that goes in to this summer.
I'd be very interested to see whether Kyrie ends up in Dallas, how much money he can get them to commit, and frankly, more than money, the years, I think, is the issue. I mean, the backbreaker of a very broken relationship with Brooklyn was that they weren't going to pay him max amount. So, you know, I do think that stuff's important to him, and Dallas is the place he can get the most, but I just, what kind of team is that going to leave them with? You do have to be concerned Luka's going to ask out if you completely, you know, mangle the roster just to keep Kyrie. So it's a bunch of questions.
It's Luka's team.
Yep.
First and foremost. And that's with all due respect to Kyrie and his talent. There's no question whose team that is. So like you said, is it going all in on Kyrie? Is that going to rub? Is that even okay with Luka? Like, we don't know. Luka doesn't speak much. I would love to speak to him, but he doesn't speak much. So like I said, I think everything has to go through Luka as far as, you know, catering to him. Because like you said, a wrong move here and there, and he can ask out. Yeah. And you don't want to lose a generational talent like Luka.
Yep. Amen. All right. Well, let's get to On the Radar, presented by DraftKings, the only sports book you need this finals. Game 3 in Miami. This surprised me, Matt. Nuggets 2.5-point favorites on the road. Who do you like in Game 3?
I like Denver.
Really?
I like Denver. Again, love Spo.
Right.
But also really like Mike Malone and his understanding of it's game by game. Every game, it could be a completely different game plan. You know, I know Murray wants to, you know, get another shot at bouncing back. You're hoping that the role players are going to play better. But again, I'm very confident. You know, I was looking at what Jimmy said after game one, how the guys were still in good spirits and laughing and joking in the locker room, knowing that, hey, we just need 4 games. Yeah. And they felt very confident. Confident is a scary thing to play with, because if you get everybody confident, the underdog can always overtake anybody. But again, they got a great coach in Mike Malone. They got, you know, Jokic, and it's going to be on the others. And I don't mean to put Murray and others, because he's great, but it's going to be the other guys outside of Jokic that are going to have to step up. But I feel like they will. But this is going to be a back and forth series. You know, initially I thought after the thumping, hey, this could be a sweep. Yeah. But then I quickly changed my tune, and not because of the loss. I just had to think, like, Spo's been amazing all season, so why is the finals going to change? So I think it's going to be a great series, but I see Denver getting game 3.
It's funny. I never thought it would be a sweep. I did think it had the danger of going only 5 games, just because Denver's been so consistent, and most of the opponents the Heat have played in this run have been inconsistent for various reasons, right? I mean, Giannis gets hurt. That's not anyone's fault, but it does make that team inconsistent. And then from there, Boston, we know, they've been plagued by inconsistency.
The most inconsistent
all
team.
All postseason, mm-hmm. right? Denver's been so consistent. I just didn't know if the Heat were going to have lanes to kind of get into them with their doing their Heat mm-hmm. stuff. But we saw some of it yep. in the first couple games. And Denver's not been great on mm-hmm. the road in this postseason. Not been terrible, but just not finished strong as they've been at home. I don't know. It feels like they're going to come out of there with a split, but maybe not. We'll see. I don't know.
The one thing that you can bank on is obviously it's the finals. And normally Miami would be a place where you got to worry about guys. But Denver doesn't seem like that kind of team.
You don't think Nikola Jokic is going to the clubs?
I think his brothers are going to be in
the
clubs.
Yes, his brothers will definitely be in the clubs.
Out there doing their thing. But I just
feel like seen his brothers please YouTube because these guys are bigger than him. He's like the little one, right? One of them was a professional wrestler and remember what the other one did professionally, but they're both at games. They talk a ton of trash, shitload of trash from the stands
because can't nobody whoop him. I'd be talking that much too if I knew that I had a brother that was just as bad as me ready to throw him. We actually got a chance, not to kind of change subjects, but in Croatia we got a chance to sit down with Jokic's agent Misko, I think that's his name.
And
just the way he discovered Jokic was unbelievable. Literally found him in a newspaper back-to-back weeks that no one was covering him. No one was talking about him. He traveled out to talk to his family and brought Jokic under his umbrella. And the rest is literally NBA history. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned for that because I think that was a really interesting time to get out and sit down with him and kind of hear his philosophies and strategies on kind of how we found him and how he moves with his agency.
Yeah, there's some clips already out on Showtime YouTube.
Oh, is there?
It's worth seeing. Okay. Like, it's really, really good.
Yeah,
I was fascinated watching that with you guys. And look, it's going to be – it's a great story about the way the NBA works in general because there's going to be more of those stories.
Absolutely.
And Jimmy Butler in some ways is an unexpected hero. Yeah. And you've just got so many guys. You've got those undrafted guys on Miami's team. And I don't know, Caleb Martin, who people gave up on, right, like a couple seasons ago. I mean, I just think that it's a great – you showed this so many times in your career that will and talent, you know, over hype
mm-hmm.
make
absolutely
a big difference.
And there's a lot more money now. Go get that money, young fellas.
I'm sorry, what was Duncan Robinson's contract? We were talking before we were sitting down.
5 years, $90 million. It's a lot of money. So Struess and Vincent and Caleb Martin.
Go
get that shit, man.
Go get yourself some. Lots of coaching staffs being filled out over the last couple of days. We had Sam Cassell joining the Celtics bench. Steven Silas joined the Detroit bench as an assistant. Biggest hire of the week, though, was Frank Vogel as the head coach in Phoenix, which came a bit out of nowhere. Just because he hadn't been mentioned among the candidates as much, not out of nowhere in terms of his qualifications, mm-hmm. championship coach.
Yep.
What were your thoughts about that move?
I liked it. You know, there wasn't really much left out there, and I say that with all due respect. Mm-hmm. You know, and to me, I think Vogel got a bad rap. You know, obviously coming to LA is a lot more than basketball. Coaching LeBron is a lot more than basketball. So to me, it's hard to really judge a coach mm-hmm. when he coaches LeBron, because we all know the way LeBron moves and he should move how he does move. Mm-hmm. I love the way LeBron moves, but sometimes I think, you know, the coaches are the scapegoats. So I like the hiring out there, but I also like that they brought Fizdale over.
Yeah.
Fizdale, you know, they had to pay him to get him out of his Utah management situation. But, you know, they still have some very solid pieces over there in Book and KD, and they got to figure out what they're going to do with Ayton. You know, see what, you know, how much juice is left in Chris Paul's old legs. Mm-hmm. Still my guy. But I like the Vogel move. I like the bringing on Fizdale. So, you know, a lot of shakeup this offseason just from the coaching. So I can't wait till players start moving.
I mean, Fizz is such a like player whisperer.
Absolutely.
I assume that's part of mm-hmm. what made him appealing there is just kind of helping that cohesiveness. Yep. I think he and Kevin Durant are going to do very well mm-hmm. together. He and Book are going to do very well together. Yep. And Vogel, I'm interested in him. He's got a real history with big men. So I'm very curious to see whether this means, do they keep DeAndre Ayton?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I assume he certainly came in with a plan. I assume he went into those interviews saying, hey, if you keep him, here's what I would do with him, mm-hmm. right? And I assume that was part of what made him an appealing candidate.
I just hope that Ayton, because he is so talented, that mm-hmm. he has someone just sit his ass down this summer, whether it's our brother Kevin Garnett mm-hmm. going out to Phoenix and sitting down with him for a week. But I just think he needs someone that he respects, or if there is anyone out there that he can listen, because he is so talented and he can bring so much to the table for that team. But it's just between the ears with him, and it's always been between the ears with that guy. So, you know, you think that, you know, you went to Arizona and then you're Phoenix and you get paid a bunch of money. Sometimes you do need a change of settings, but if they can salvage him, I just think he's such a talented big. If anyone is able to get through to him,
yeah,
maybe it's Kevin Durant. Because not to cut you off, I remember he spoke on how great Kevin Durant has been for him off the court and kind of talking to him. So if he can sit down and soak, because Kevin Durant doesn't talk a ton. Well, he talks on his little show now, but his basketball mind is incredible. He's amazing. Such a student of the game, and I really think that if Aiden would listen to KD and follow KD's lead, he could be a huge, huge part for the Suns team.
Yeah. And I can never quite figure out what it is with Aiden, because if you sit and talk to him, he does not have a bad attitude.
Really?
This is not a guy who, like, you know, is sullen. He's not entitled. He's not, you know, he likes being friendly with his teammates. He was so excited when KD would spend time with him. He thought it was like the most exciting, best thing ever. He was like, oh my God, he stayed up with me all night and talked to me. And it was just like, yeah, he's your teammate. Right. And you guys are on a long road trip. And to him, it was so exciting. So there's a disconnect somewhere, clearly.
It might have been with Monty.
You know
what I mean? It was well documented that they didn't get along. Mm-hmm. And I was, the biggest firing surprise to me was Monty.
Yeah.
You mean to think that what he's able 100%. To do with that team in a small window of time, is winning percentages, how much winning. So to me, when I first fired Monty, I'm like, okay, well then they still want to keep Aiden. So I find it hard to believe that they would let go Monty and Aiden in the same summer. So like you said, it was a disconnect somewhere. If it's Monty Williams, it's Monty Williams. And then they decided to keep their investment in Aiden. So again, just if it's KD or Book or, you know, a handful of them, just being able to get through to him, because like, this kid has so much talent and can really help this team.
Yeah, for sure. And look, by the way, thrilled that Monty got the bag
in
Detroit, because I think he was scapegoated a bit in Phoenix. You trade, again, sound kind of like Dallas, you trade a chunk of your team for Kevin Durant, and then you're surprised that you don't have the bodies to go at it. In the playoffs, you're just like, come on, that's not the coach's fault. Mm-hmm. But I was like, man, he got paid in Detroit. Bag. So good
for him.
That's
going to help guys like Spo and Steve Kerr 100%. And some of these guys, the contracts that are coming up. $20 million is the number now for the top going coaches, so that's going to be dope.
Dude, I mean, look, they work so hard. You know how much coaches work. They work so many hours. And you're talking about Duncan Robinson with his 5 years, $90 million. So, you know, there you go. Who's as important as any one player to a team is the right coach. So, I don't know. Do you think Sam Cassell joining the Celtics means that Doc Rivers won't be working this season, because Sam normally goes wherever Doc goes?
I think so. And we may have seen the last of Doc. You know, we may have seen the last of Doc. There's, you know, me and I like Doc as a person, but I think the glaring weakness with Doc has been his in-game adjustments. And we've been raving about Spo and Mike Malone and that, how important in-game adjustments are. And that's kind of, to me, Doc is a very strong coach, great motivator, can make you believe, you know, the ocean is purple and have you ready to run through a wall with his fucking gladiator speeches. But what I saw as a player and what other guys have talked about is just kind of his adjustments. So, again, I think, you know, Avi Cassell going to Boston is similar to Fizdale going to Phoenix, a great guy that is able to communicate and be a bridge between the head coach and the players. So I definitely like that pickup, because, you know, Ime was handpicking those Boston assistants and bringing them out to Houston. So I think Sam was a good pickup for that staff.
What strikes me about Doc is that he went from one team to another team that both had a lot of behind-the-scenes situations going on. And I think there's a lot about what was going on in Philly these past 3 years that we don't know.
Ton.
And so I'm not really ready to make an assessment on sort of, oh, did he do a good enough job or not? And again, I just keep saying, if Jason Tatum didn't hit what one or two last threes at the end of game six,
they could be playing.
He'd be in the Eastern Conference, you know, they'd be in the Eastern Conference Finals at least. And like, he would still probably be in that job, kind of like Rob Pelinka, right? You make it to the conference finals, you're going to keep your job.
Yep.
So I don't know. I think Doc is the kind of guy, I wouldn't be surprised if he took a year off and then showed
came back
up somewhere
again,
else
great,
again.
Great talker, great motivator, great person.
Yeah.
Again, I just, as a player, I've seen it. I've heard other players talk about it. And that, to me, that if there's any, not even saying bad, if there's one weakness Doc has, it's just those in-game adjustments. And those are so huge these days. Oh. It's always huge, but up late, it's really stepped out.
Yeah. Take a year off and watch TV and be on TV and see
golf.
Yeah. Do so much golf. Yeah. But maybe, you know, make those adjustments from your couch and get better at it. Before I let you go, this just caught my eye and I had to ask you about it. Jaren Jackson Jr. was on Paul George's podcast. Again, NBA fans, you're so lucky. You're getting all this shit, all this content.
All of it.
He said that Stephen Adams, when Paul and Stephen Adams were playing together in Oklahoma City, and remember now Stephen Adams is playing with Jaren Jackson Jr. in Memphis, he said that Stephen tried to scratch his face so hard that he would bleed. And he was like, Stephen, what are you doing? Why are you scratching your face so hard? And he goes, mate, I'm just trying to get us more more time. We need to huddle. We don't have any timeouts left.
So he was trying to, I didn't see it, but yes. I've kind of saw it. So he was trying to scratch himself so that they could get like a stoppage.
Yeah,
so
because you, time. You know, you can't have blood on the court, right? And wow. Magic Johnson rule. So, so that's what Steven Adams was doing. And of course, it made me think of what we have seen other players and coaches do to try to get that extra timeout. They don't have Jason Kidd, spilled bottle, a spilled drink.
Paul,
KG. Pump into me.
Right.
So what's the strangest thing a teammate or coach has done of that nature? Because you play with everyone forever.
Nothing comes to mind, honestly. I was trying to delay it or change it. I don't have a good story. No. I mean, I remember the one time that a game was delayed was when I was playing for the Kings early in my career, and there was a mouse at the Palace. And literally, well, I was in Sacramento with Webb and Bibby and all these guys, and I remember, like, they're in the Eastern Conference game, so literally someone turned the TV on, and we were late coming back out to the court to start the second half because we were all watching.
Are you serious?
What was going on? Yeah, we were all watching what was going on.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, with Stack and his guys and Ben Wallace and Ron. So
damn.
That was the one. That's the only thing that comes to mind of like stopping play or not starting play on time. But as far as a player or a coach.
Yeah.
Doing some slick shit, I don't have nothing else.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. I mean, the game wasn't going on then, but like there must have been some
literally
other drama
we were late to come out to start the second half because we were all watching the Malice in the Palace.
That's bonkers. Yeah. I didn't realize that. See, there you go. All right, next week we'll have more NBA finals-ness because we know we're going to at least 5 games, so stay tuned. What's Burning available every week on Showtime Basketball YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. This man is going to get some very well-deserved sleep.
I'm going to go golf first.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm just going to try to burn it on both ends.
Damn!
My girl, babe, if I don't come home, I'm asleep in my golf cart, so come find me.
See ya.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18
plus.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.